Welcome back to TRP.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. And now for a piece called Finger of Fate from the book The Density of Distant Thoughts by James W. Corcoran. Having attained an honors degree in marketing, his father assumed he would follow in his footsteps. But Randolph Jr. had other plans. He wanted out, to get away from it all, chill out, find himself somewhere in the anonymity of South America. When his father heard of his plans, he stormed into the breakfast room to confront his son, who sat at the table, engrossed in a Rolling Stone magazine, lounging in his patched-up denim jeans, his grubby sneakers sprawled across the red velvet upholstery of the chair beside him. Music and photography had always been his passion. Rosetta, the pretty Mexican maid, on seeing Randolph Sr., grabbed the coffee pot and rushed to the head of the table and poured some strong dark coffee into his cup. "What the fuck's got into you, you bird brain?" he hollered in his Texas drawl. "Who the fuck do you think you are? Who put you through high school and Harvard, and is this the kind of gratitude I get?" "Here we go again. What's the big deal? I just want to get away for a little while, that's all." His father grabbed the coffee cup and began pacing up and down. "Take those filthy sneakers off the furniture and get your hair cut." Randy lifted his feet slowly from the chair and lowered them to the floor. "What's the big deal? What's the big deal, you ask me? For fuck's sake, you can go anywhere in this goddamn world, but where do you choose? South America." "What's wrong with South America?" asked Randy, calmly breaking the bagel between his fingers. His father spun on the heels of his cowboy boots, his right arm flaying aggressively. "Spicks, wogs and lunatics, for one thing." Rosetta lowered her eyes and quickly left the room. "Now see what you've done," said Randy, shaking his greasy blonde locks in disgust. Randolph Sr. sipped on his coffee. "Just because I hire the domestics don't mean I have to like them." Randy folded the magazine and slapped it onto the white tablecloth. "And it doesn't mean you have the right to shag them either." His father slapped the cup down and slowly walked menacingly towards him. Lowering his face, he stared his son eyeball to eyeball. "You open that mouth of yours, boy, and I'll have it filled. Do you understand?" Randy refused to crack under his father's threatening stare. "You're one heartless bastard, do you know that?" Randolph Sr. straightened himself, a broad smile sweeping across his large red face. "You better believe it, boy. Now let's get down to business." He pulled his chair out, sat down, buttered some toast and began covering it in strips of crispy bacon. "I'll make you an offer, boy," he said, lining the bacon in neat rows on top of his toast with his fingers. "I'll give you $5,000 if you forget your harebrained vacation to South America. Go to Europe instead. At least you'll find culture there. When your vacation is over, I'll have a spanking new office waiting for you down at Haynes Oil." He tucked a white linen napkin into his buckskin shirt, picked the toast up and began to chew. "Well, what do you say, son?" Randy leaned back in his chair. "You don't get it, do you? I've been to Europe. I want to see how the other half live. I'm not interested in swanky hotels and fancy restaurants. I want to live a little, sleep out under the stars, experience the real world." "You? You couldn't give a shit about the planet. The only thing you care about is yourself." "At least I'm not polluting the planet for future generations." "Well, how come you ain't driving one of them electric autos if you're so concerned with the planet?" "I'm thinking of getting one, if you must know." "Oh, yeah, that'll be the day. You can say what you goddamn like, but I'm going to South America. I'm warning you here now. If you go, you'll get nothing from me. Do you hear? Not one red cent. I'll cancel your credit cards, and we'll soon see how long it takes you to find the real world." Randy pushed his chair beneath the table and stood up. "Don't threaten me, Dad. I'm not one of your yes men. You're not going to manipulate me like everybody else in your shallow life." food particle shot from his father's mouth. "Any more of your lip, boy, and I swear to God I'll cut your inheritance." "Do you know what that means?" he said, waving his knife towards Randy. "It means the fucking hippie will have to work for a living." "I ain't afraid of work." "How could you be? You and it ain't ever crossed paths in the 22 years you've been on this planet." "Screw you," said Randy, slipping the chair beneath the table and heading out the door. "Right, boy, you asked for it," hollered his enraged father. "From now on, you're on your own." Randy leapt into his red Porsche 911 cabrio without bothering to open the door. Gravel spewed from beneath the back wheels of the car as he spun it around and headed down the avenue, the bass bins of his stereo booming. As he waited for the electric gates to open, he stuck a finger defiantly up at the surveillance cameras, placed strategically along the high white walls decked with cascading blooms of pink and purple bougainvillea. He was a man now, and nobody was going to tell him what he could or couldn't do. All his life he had been tossed like a rag doll, packed off here and there as the occasion demanded. He had enough. It was time he stood up, not only for himself, but for his principles. Impatiently, he squeezed the car through the half-open gates and headed in the direction of downtown Houston. By the time he had pulled into Copper Creek Mall, he had calmed down. Once he found a parking space, he headed directly for the Wrangler store. It was the only clothes shop he frequented. Perhaps that had something to do with the fact that Jack Mella, a stunning-looking Puerto Rican girl, worked there. "How you doing today?" she said as he entered the store. Randy gave her a warm smile. "I'm good, Jack Mella. I'm heading off for a few weeks to South America." Her large brown eyes widened and her full lips broke into a crescent smile. "My, my, some people have all the luck," she sighed. "I'll take you with me if you want," he blurted. "Oh, how I wish I could take you up on that," she sighed. "Yeah, right. Maybe next time then," he said with a smile. "I'd love that," she said, flipping her long black hair over her shoulders.
"So would I," said Randy.
He went to the shelves and picked out three pairs of regular fit jeans and three outsized shirts and headed back to the counter. "Wow, that was quick," she said as she tapped the items into the cash register. "That'll be $220, Randy," she said as she packed the clothes into a large brown shopping bag. Randy handed her his credit card. She swiped it and waited a moment. "Geez, Randy, there's something the matter with your card. It's reading access denied." Without thinking, Randy produced another card. "Here, try this one then." "I'm sorry, Randy. It's also reading access denied." The smile drained from Randy's face. "Would you mind holding them till tomorrow, till I sort this out?" "What time is your flight tomorrow?" she asked.
11 in the morning, I think."
"You'll never make the flight. The banks don't open till 10. Why don't I get them on my credit card? You can pay me back when you get home."
I couldn't do that."
"Why not?" she laughed. "It's not as if Haynes Oil ain't good for a couple of $100.
I couldn't.
"I'll tell you what," she said coyly. "You can take me out for a meal when you get back."
"What do you say?"
"Yeah, that sounds real good, Jack Miller." "Well then, there you go," she said, handing him the Wrangler bag.
"Are you sure?"
"Yeah, have a great vacation and I'll see you when you get back."
"You're a star, Jack Miller. I'll bring you home a nice surprise," he said, kissing her on the cheek.
Randy climbed back into his car. He didn't believe his father would stoop so low as to actually carry out his threat. He was furious. It was another example of his father's manipulative control. Not to be outdone, he drove to Dixie's Auto Shop on Interstate 10. The market value of his Porsche Carrera Cabrio was $60,000. But all he managed to get was $37,000 cash. Sure, he knew he was being ripped off, but at least it gave him the independence he craved for and was sufficient to fund his trip. Grabbing his camera bag and his Wranglers from the back of the car,
He handed over the keys and accepted a lift back into town. Randy didn't return home that night, and the next day he boarded a plane bound for Peru. He travelled light, just a rucksack and his cameras, nothing else. He spent the first few days in Lima before flying to Pucallpa on a small internal flight. The first thing that struck him was the humidity as he walked across the tarmac of the airport. It was a bustling town, once little more than an outpost, a shanty town on the banks of the Ucayali River. From their shacks, native Indians sold local delicacies, oranges, papaya, figs, pineapples, not to mention some of the most prehistoric-looking fish he had ever seen in his life. It was a photographer's dream, and Randy busied himself taking photographs with his camera. "Hey, gringo, special price for you," they would shout with outstretched hands, vying for his money and attention. Later that afternoon, he took a boat taxi downriver to Janoshobo Lodge. He had read about it in the National Geographic. It seemed ideal, remote, yet with all the basic needs one could wish for. It was only now, as he headed downstream, he felt he was leaving the rat race behind, that he was crossing some invisible line that divided two distinct worlds. He gazed across the broad expanse of water to the outcrops of civilization, skirting the shoreline and listening to the putt-putt of the outboard carrying him further and further downstream, further into the unknown. Heavy monsoon rains fell as the boat docked on the shores of Lake Yarinachoca. Once registered in the lodge and given his key, Randy grabbed shampoo from his room and hurried out into the forest. Finding a secluded clearing, he slipped out of his soaking clothes and began to shower. The rain, teeming, tepid, massaged his skin. He felt invigorated, as it baptized him, giving him a sense of rebirth. He closed his eyes and washed his hair, savoring the moment as he listened to the strange, exotic cries of birds hidden in the canopy. The next morning, he met Rodriguez in the breakfast room. Despite his Latin-sounding name, he was actually born and educated in England. "Rod Chambers," he said, offering his hand. "Hi, I'm Randy Haynes. The locals call me Rodriguez, but you can call me Rod." "What are you doing out here, Rod?" "I'm here on business. Rubber industry, I'm afraid. Would you care to join me for breakfast?" Randy accepted his kind invitation. "Thank you, I'd be glad to." "You're new to these parts." "Is it so goddamn obvious?" said Randy. "Afraid so," laughed Rodriguez. Though his dark, wavy hair was prematurely grey at the sides and swept back off his face, Randy surmised Rodriguez to be in his late 30s, early 40s at most. He wore a khaki shirt and shorts with heavy hiking boots and looked like the type of guy you might find on an archaeological dig, with his weather-beaten face and intellectual outdoor look. His voice was soft and educated, and Randy was impressed by his fluency in Spanish. "How long have you been here?" asked Randy. "I've been holed up in this blasted place for the last 4 years." "4 years, wow, that's exciting." "I'm afraid exciting is probably the last word that would spring to mind." Two monkeys climbed along the branch of a tree just outside the lodge and began to chatter wildly close to the wire mesh window. "They do this every morning," said Rodriguez. "Clever little bastards, really, hoping to share some of the leftovers." Randy watched in amusement. "Have you travelled much in South America, Rodriguez?" He poured himself some coffee. "My mother was Argentinian, my father English, so I kind of fall between two stools. As a result, I got to see quite a bit of this place." "Sounds great," said Randy. "Believe me, it's not that great. What part of the States are you from?" "I'm from Texas, but I'm sure you might have already guessed. With that drawl, it isn't difficult." "What are you doing in these parts?" he asked. "Oh, I'm just on vacation, trying to get away from it all." "Well, you've definitely come to the right place. Mind you, there are some pretty girls in Iquitos, and they just adore gringos, especially those with blonde hair." "What line of business are you in?" "I'm not sure," shrugged Randy.
I'd love to be a professional photographer or a musician, but my father wants me to join him in the oil business. I haven't decided yet. Right now, all I want to do is bum around and have a good time. Rodriguez noticed the gold Cartier watch on Randy's wrist. You're not connected to Haynes Oil by any chance? Randy poked a banana through the wire mesh. A monkey grabbed it and darted up a branch. Yeah, in as few ways as possible, he said with a cheesy grin. But yes, I'm the son of Randolph Haynes. Christ, said Rodriguez, swigging from his coffee. You don't look the sort. What sort is that? You know, the type that gives a shit about money. I'll take that as a compliment. I admire your attitude. Oh, by the way, I'm flying to Iquitos later in the morning on some company business. It's just me and the pilot. You're welcome to join us if you like. We'll be back by nightfall. Do we have to take the boat all the way back to Pucallpa for that? No. The boat plane will arrive here at 11. Wow, that sounds great. I'd love to go. Randy gazed down on the Peruvian jungle streaming past, looking for all the world like an endless vista of tightly packed broccoli, dissected by the meandering Ucayali, glinting brown from the recent rains. Beautiful, isn't it? Said Rodriguez, gesturing down. Yes, stunning. He could see the tiny black shadow of their plane distort as it crossed over the grey-green tops, rising and falling with the contours of the trees. Eventually, the plane touched down in the middle of the river. I thought we were flying to Iquitos, said Randy. And no, they don't have a clear stretch of water big enough for us to land. We'll take a boat from here, then a taxi. A powerful motor launch skimmed across the water towards them in a V of white spray. See? They were expecting us, said Rodriguez with a nod of his head. As soon as the launch was by their side, Randy noticed some of the crew carried Kalashnikovs. Why the weapons? He asked. Oh, it's just a precaution, Rodriguez assured him. We're not too far from the Colombian border. Several large Hessian sacks were carefully taken from the boat and loaded aboard the plane. Right, let's hit Iquitos, said Rodriguez, stepping down into the motor launch. Randy watched as the single-engine plane whined in preparation for takeoff. He raised his camera and began to photograph it as it bounced along at ever-increasing speeds across the surface of the water before rising steadily into the sky. The powerful engines of the launch surged into life and spray rose as it sped towards the shore. Only when he went to photograph those on board and a submachine gun was placed to his temple did Randy realize something was seriously wrong. I'm sorry, I didn't mean any harm, he said as his cameras were wrenched from his grasp and tossed into the waters in the wake of the boat. 4 days later, a small parcel addressed to Randolph Haynes, Sr. arrived on his desk. Despite his initial anger at seeing the postmark, Randolph Sr. was glad his son was making contact. When he opened the parcel, his stomach heaved. Placed inside his son's passport was a severed index finger wrapped in a small transparent freezer bag and a ransom note from FARC guerrillas with the words $3 million by Sunday the 12th at noon or else. Randolph Sr. beat his clenched fist against the desk and pressed the intercom. God damn it, get me Governor Donnelly on the line immediately. Rodriguez stood outside a chicken coop and glanced at the gold Cartier watch upon his wrist. The deadline's passed, I'm afraid. What sort of a bastard do you have for a father? 3 million. It's a drop in the ocean to him. Randy sat motionless, his hands bound tightly behind his back, his feet tied to the rim of a tractor wheel, a Hessian sack thrown over his head. For what it's worth, said Rodriguez, stepping into the doorway. I think you're a decent sort of bloke. Though he couldn't see properly through the Hessian sack, Randy could just about make out the dark outline of Rodriguez standing at the opening. Look, I'm sorry, mate, it's out of my hands. They've heard fuck all from your father, and these FARC guys don't like playing silly games. I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect this. All he had to do was pay up. Why the fuck didn't he at least have the decency to contact them? Does he think he's dealing with a bunch of fucking amateurs? Outside, the sound of Spanish voices could be heard approaching, frenzied and high-pitched. Randy took a deep breath. He was on his own. They were coming to get him. An image of Jack Miller's smiling face flashed before him. He would never repay her kindness, nor take her out for that promised meal.
Keep on listening to TRP.